Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today to honor God's Word, our God's Word, His eternal Word that we believe and we know to be true and we know it to be without error. I've not found any errors. If God the Holy Ghost, if there was one time that I found an error in my Bible, I'd put it down and not look at it anymore. And I'm saying that with all due respect, but I've been in the Scriptures for a little while now, and God the Holy Ghost has taught me what His Word is and showed me what His Word is, and I've not veered from it, not one minute, and never am going to, and not going to let anybody talk me into anything else or out of anything else. God's Word is perfect. And as soon as you figure that out, I mean, if you don't know that and you have doubts about it, and I did. I had doubts about it, not because I wanted to have doubts, but because of what everybody outside of me was saying. They were saying, well, here's the Bible, and here's the Bible, and here's the Bible, and here's the Bible. And I'm saying, wait just a minute. When I was a boy, I didn't think there was anything but one Bible. That's all I was right. That's all I knew. There was only such thing. I thought there was only one Bible, and it was God's book. I didn't know there was all these other translations and all this kind of stuff. I didn't know that. And when you said Bible, I thought the same thing every time. And I've been around the King James Bible my entire life, not because I chose to, but because that was just all there was. And when the Lord brought me back after this, I guess about 15 years ago now, He taught me a good lesson and one that stuck. And I've been back with Him ever since and trying to give Him the rest of my life without any breaks in it, you know, something part of my life I can pick up and hand to Him and say, this was for You, Lord, and intend on doing that. But about 15 years ago, I started asking the Lord, I started hearing about this Bible and that Bible and this Bible and that Bible, and I'm going, what in the world? Look at what the Christians are doing. They're fighting over what the Bible is now. I mean, Jesus said that if Satan fight against Satan, he's going to lose. And if Christians fight against Christians, they're going to lose. Now, what are you fighting about God's Word for? Don't you know what God's Word is? God the Holy Ghost will tell you. I've said all this to say this. I got to where I laid the books down, laid God's Word down, what I thought was God's Word, and I said, Lord, You show me what Your Word is. And I was really having a fight in myself because I don't believe God's Word is in 15, 20, 50. I think there's 232 translations now. I'm not sure. 200 and something translations. And I don't believe that God stretches His Word out like that. That's confusion. And God is not the author. What's an author? An author is somebody that puts His words down in a book. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And when I started hearing all that translation business and this and that, no, this is the Bible, no, this is the Bible, no, this is the Bible, and all this kind of business, it didn't cause, I ain't never seen anybody discuss it to where it didn't end up in confusion. And everybody's starting to get mad at one another and all over God's Word. And God's Word's where the power is. It's where everything is. So I asked the Holy Ghost to show me what God's Word is, and He did. He said, you've had it all your life, and there it is, the King James Bible. That's what it is. And I'm not saying that to ask you to believe it. I'm telling you, you ought to do the same thing. If the enemy's bothering you, or there's a whole bunch of other people that you respect that are using other translations or this and that and the other, and you're kind of confused about it, just ask God the Holy Ghost to show you what His Word is. And when He does, and it is His will, He will show it to you. But one thing is you got to be willing to accept His answer. No matter what you think or anybody else thinks, when He tells you what His Word is, then you take His Word and you ground it in you and you stick by it, and don't you let anybody pull you away from it no matter what. and you stay right by it, and you count on it, and you believe in it, and you hope in it, because it's God's Word that backs up everything. It's God's Word. And if the devil can get you tripped up on his Word, you spend 20 years looking for what God's Word is, and you don't learn nothing. You see? That's him. That's how he does. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but that was pretty good, wasn't it? I asked the Lord to show me what God's Word is, and he did, and it settled in my heart, and I don't have any doubt in my mind when I read God's Word that, I mean, I get peace, and I get confirmation every time I read God's Word that it's God the Holy Ghost inspired. And so if you're having problems with that, brothers and sisters, ask the Holy Ghost to show you what God's Word is, and he will. And then you take it and you stick with it no matter what, how many letters is behind somebody's name and how much they think of themselves and this and that and the other. Jesus said to Peter, Jesus told, got up from one of their meetings there, they were sitting around, and he said, "Peter, follow me." And when he got up, he started walking off, and Peter got up and started following the Lord Jesus. And Peter said, "Lord," and the Lord turned around, and he said, "What about that man?" And he pointed back to John, because Peter knew that Jesus loved John, and Peter didn't think that John should be left out because he knew that Jesus loved him. He said, "What about that man?" And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Peter," he said, "if I will that he tarry till I come again," he said, "what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And Peter shut his mouth and followed the Lord. John wasn't invited on that one. When the Lord tells you to follow him, you follow him no matter what anybody else says. And when God shows you what his Word is, you stick in his Word and don't you listen to nobody else. You listen to God the Holy Ghost. And you follow him and you'll be all right. The Lord will take care of you. He always has and he always will. But you don't need to get tripped up in all this translation confusion that's going on, because it ain't of the Lord. The Lord did not make 500 different versions of his Bible that all say different things. He did not do that. He's not the author of confusion, and there's no such thing as the originals. There's no such thing. If somebody tells you there's such things as the original autographs, tell them to show them to you. They never seen them either. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. And they don't know what they're talking about. And anybody that says that's living in fantasy world, Mickey Mouse world, Donald Duck world, whatever it is. But anyway, don't get yourself tied up in all that, because it'll take a lot of time out that you could be serving the Lord to get you straightened back up. And you don't need to be in that. It's a meaningless, vain battle. And I'm just telling you that, and you can take it and whatever, however you want to take it, but that's the best advice I can give you. Ask God the Holy Ghost, and he won't lie to you, and he won't try to make excuses. "Well, the King James is a good translation, but it's unfortunate that it says this." And, you know, I can't see any man, any sinner, having any kind of rights to judge God's Word. If God the Holy Ghost wanted to call you, wanted to, anything God the Holy Ghost wanted to write down in his book ought to be honored and glorified and appreciated by sinners. And any man that stands up and he thinks he's smart enough to correct God the Holy Ghost and correct that Bible, I ain't got no respect for. And I stay away from them, because God liable to get mad at them for messing with his Word, because he magnifies his Word above his name. And when you mess with God's Word, he's going to mess with your mind. And he does. And he turn you over to a reprobate, and you'll be walking around and all that kind of mess. But don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. If you're having any kind of difficulty in that at all, you ask God the Holy Ghost. and he'll show you what his word is. And when he does, you stick to it. You stick to it, okay? Now, let's go ahead and get into our study here. We're talking about the letter K. This is study number 11A, the second study in the letter K in our ABCs of Christian growth. We're talking about killing. Killing. And every time I say that, it just seems like I need to say, what has that got to do with the ABCs of Christian growth? And you'd think that the last person on earth would pick a subject like that, and probably would. This just came out of the woodwork just all of a sudden. And I just started working on it, and the Lord started showing me things and wanted me to do a study on this. So we did. And we are. When we began this study, we started defining and trying to separate and differentiate the definitions of killing over time. About 40, 50, 60 years ago, what the definition of killing or kill or that sort of thing. And we did. And then we brought it up to 2022 and seen the difference. And the word killing, it means quite a bit more. Almost 200% more. Society thinks killing is defined 200% more than it was back in 1960. So we went and we seen some synonyms of it and some types of killing, annihilation, asphyxiation, assassination, and just going on and on and on. And that was amazing in itself. Took up almost a quarter of a page on one of these sheets here, that on one of these worksheets, and just quite a bit. It's amazing that that human beings can figure out multiple ways of killing. We talked about reasons for killing in the Bible. When we got into the study, the first part of the lesson was reasons for killing in the Bible, and we've seen that. And as we went through, we've seen reasons against killing in the Bible, and we studied that. We also studied killing of Christians. We went over that and talked about that it's ultimately in the hand of God, and there's going to be more of it. And it's a result of persecution, and it still can happen and is happening. It just so happens that American Christians, it's not your fault, but we've been living for 200 years in this country, and it was honoring God, and there was not much persecution in this country because God was honored in it and God was protecting it. But in third world countries and around the world, it's a whole different story. You can talk to missionaries and they'll tell you that America has it good as far as persecution for the name of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The Bible tells us this matter of persecution and the killing of Christians, it is going to return, and it's going to be worldwide. It's going to be worldwide. The Lord even speaks to the souls that were under the altar in the book of Revelation, and the Lord said that he could not avenge their deaths because they were beheaded during the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. But he couldn't avenge them yet because they had brethren that were going, that had to be killed in the same manner. They're going to get the heads chopped off. Why? Because they wouldn't concede or compromise their stand for Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So they die. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. We talked about homicide as described in the Bible and defined it and found out that homicide is what? It's the killing of one human being by another human being. And not on purpose. Not on purpose. It's just something that came about, time and chance. And whatever might have happened, happened, and somebody died at the hand of another person. One human being killing another human being. And it was not by guile and not presumptuously. And then after we finished that study, we went into the study of murder. And the word homicide is not in the scriptures. It's not in the scriptures, but the word murder is. And the Lord Jesus Christ used that word himself. He used it himself. Murder is different than homicide because murder brings the heart of man into it. It brings his, it comes from the heart. It brings anger into it. It's premeditated. It's intentional. It brings not only anger into it, but, it's a work of the flesh. The Lord said, and now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Man's pretty messed up, ain't he? Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we know, of course, if you study your Bible and you're a serious student of the Word of God, that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is spiritual. You cannot learn spiritual truth and doctrinal truth and things about spiritual matters if you participate and live as in the flesh. And the flesh has rule over you. You commit adultery and fornication and uncleanness, and you live like that. You have idols and mess around with witchcraft and hatred and variance. You're not going to know very much about the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to learn the things of God and the deep things of God. The Lord said that if you why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He's got a point there, doesn't he? He's got a point. But then we talked about the guilt of murder, and I can't. I think I can. Yeah, we did talk about that. The guilt of murder. We talked about the penalty of murder. Yes, we did. And then on, I think it was our last lesson, we started in to a whole different part, which is suicide. Suicide is killing, and that is part of our topic and our what we're studying, killing. Suicide is killing. It's defined as the act of killing yourself. A person who kills himself intentionally. Killing oneself intentionally, an act of deliberate self-destruction. When I was up there in that ministry at Pennsylvania, I was telling you about that, and there was a camp for troubled men. And we had hundreds of men that come in and out of there. The program was for a year. The man come there for a year. And it takes at least a year to clean the garbage out of you and out of your mind and clean up that flesh and clean up your mind and clean up your heart. And that's being in the Word of God for 4 hours a day in classroom situation. And then living there and eating there it takes a year. It takes a while. That's why you need to stay as far away from sinful things and sinful matters and sinful temptations and everything that has anything to do with the devil's business. Stay away from it. Because it's going to go home with you if you mess with it. And you don't want it in your home. Your home needs to be a sanctuary to where you can be at peace and you can get around God's Word and get your strength back, your spiritual strength, and be strong in the Word of God. But it takes its toll on you if you play with it and get out there messing around with it. It's not just something that comes and goes. It's something that sticks to you. Sin bringeth forth death. It brings forth death. Okay? So we started there in suicide, and we talked about suicidal thoughts and why. In the Bible, We talked about suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible. Well, we talked about life's weariness. Remember that? And that wasn't all. We talked about life's vanity. Life's vanity. How vain this life is. And everybody's run. I'm going to find my place in this world. No, you're not. Your place is not in this world. Your place is one of two places. It's either with the Lord and Jesus Christ being born again, and you're just presently in the world, but not of the world, or either it's walking in darkness in this world, and you're going to pass through this world and go into eternity and end up in hell and then the lake of fire. That's your place, one of them two. Now, in heaven, Jesus said that he goes to make us a place. If you're born again, the Lord is making you, a place. Now, isn't that what you're looking for down here before you found the Lord? And now we have hope. We don't have to look for a place down here. This is not our home. We're passing through here. You're not going to stay here. And this place ain't worth staying. What are you talking about? You want to set up your home here without the Lord? Why, I wouldn't spend a dime on trying to profit down here in this world anymore. Our hope ought to be with the Lord in heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. He's not only going to prepare a place for you, your place is there. Jesus is building it for you. When you get there, he's going to give it to you. It'll be your place. Isn't that where everybody wants to be, is in their place? I want to find my place. Don't you? You're not going to find it down here, brothers and sisters. Quit looking. Just live here and camp out here. Don't set up no riches. Don't set up no buildings. Don't set up no nothing that don't set up no, don't fill your barns up. Just don't do it. You're wasting your time doing that. Get involved in God's business and get involved in doing things that are spiritual and that are eternal. And the Lord said, put up treasure in heaven. Now, you're so interested in interest rates and things like this and investments and stuff like that, then why won't you take Jesus Christ's advice? Don't you think he's wise enough to give you financial advice? He said, don't store up treasure down here, but store up treasure in heaven. You invest your life, give your body as a living sacrifice, work for the Lord down here, and do it because you love him, and do it from the heart. Do it sincerely, and the Lord, that's an investment, because you're going to get interest on that in heaven. More than interest. But we talked about anger. Anger plays a big part in this matter of suicidal thoughts and why. Most people that have suicidal thoughts have anger in that matter somewhere. Life's weariness causes it, life's vanity causes it, and anger causes it. So picking up right there and continuing in this study, we're going to find out how and why suicide is brought on according to the Scriptures, and why, and see some examples in the Scriptures of why suicide is actually brought on. Okay? But first, just like we did on that other one, I haven't forgotten you, I want to show you something, or tell you something, that is, that the killing is updated. It's still updated. It's still going on. Here's one right here. How old was this guy? 15 years old. A 15-year-old just got sentenced to 40 years in prison. A 15-year-old got 40 years in prison, sentenced as an adult, for going into a high school and fatally shooting one guy and killing him and wounding three other ones. He got 15 years for that, for going into a high school and doing that. He killed them. He killed them. And when he was standing there trying to, in court, when he got sentenced, the boy, now he knew this boy, and he knew their mom and dad, and they were best friends. And he stood in there and apologized and told them he didn't know why he did it. And he said he's so sorry. He said he knows he can't repay it and he can't say anything to bring him back. And, I mean, he was repentant and he was remorseful for it, but it's too late. He's dead. He killed him. He killed him. A 15-year-old killed his buddy and fatally shot up some other ones in a high school. Here's another one. This is 12 hours ago. Policeman went out for this woman. I guess they called her in or something, called in and said there was something going on or something like this, and this police showed up. And they put this woman in a car, looked like she was high on meth or something was wrong with her, but they wasn't going to arrest her. They just put her in the car for a little bit and trying to figure things out and was going to let her go. But while she was in the car, they had her in handcuffs, and she got her hands out of the handcuffs and freed herself. Then she reached up in the car and unlocked the gun door that they got secured in there, found the lock, unlocked it, and pulled out an AR-15, found the locks on it, and unlocked it, and started shooting out of the car and shot a deputy. And shot up a civilian, they said, some other person that was shot up, got the gun and started shooting them out of the police car. Yeah. Out of the back seat of the police car. And I don't think they killed him, that it killed him. He's in the hospital. But I don't think it killed him. But she meant to kill him. She meant to kill him. I mean, even locking people down, and they get out of the handcuffs, in the car, get the police's rifle out of the car, and shoot them outside of their car instead of inside of their car. That's something. Here's another one. This is 4 hours ago. A lady's at a gas station. And she's filling her car up, and she's getting in her car, and when she's getting in her car, a drive-by comes by, and they start shooting. There's gunfire going on, and shoot the woman in her car while she was injured and taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. And they shot her and said that she was in serious life-threatening injuries, just driving by. And shot her. Multiple shots in her vehicle, and one of them hit her, sitting in her vehicle. Just drove by for no reason and shot her up. Shot her up. And she's in life-threatening critical injuries in the hospital, and I guess so. They drove by and shot at her to kill her. To kill her. I mean, it's not a joke anymore, folks. Killing is one of the top three things in society's mind. Yeah. Here's some more. Here's another one. They're investigating a homicide of an early morning shooting. That was this morning at 1:45 a.m. this morning, just after midnight. And it's about a fellow over in Quincy, is what it's called, a little country town over there. And they got a call about a car sitting out on the road. And they went there and found a black car sitting there, a black sedan sitting there. And it had bullet holes all in it. Just riddled with bullet holes, it says. And they found a man laying beside on the ground, dead, shot of a gunshot wound, killed him. A drive-by. Found a man, I guess it was a drive-by. I mean, or either somebody just shot up the car, but they said it was the car was just riddled with bullets. It wasn't a joke. Somebody was trying to kill him. And they did. They killed him. That was what? 17 hours ago? 17 hours ago? He's dead. And his car's full of bullet holes. dead. And this is updated stuff. I'm not telling you stuff that happened a year ago or 2 years ago. I'm telling you stuff that happened last night. Here's another one. Now, we're talking about suicide. And we're talking about killing and suicide being part of killing. Well, I just want to update you a little bit. There was we got an interstate I-10 that runs through this town. And there's rest areas pretty close to the city here that are near, you know, off the interstate, like rest areas are. Well, the highway patrol got a call that there was somebody that was sitting in a car at one of the rest areas holding a gun. And it looked kind of bad or whatever it was. But, I mean, you see somebody playing around with a gun and in a rest area and a possible armed and suicidal man, and nobody knew really what was going on. It was unknown, and they didn't know where the rest area was, but somebody brought it up. Well, the Florida Highway Patrol went to hunting it and searching it and everything, and they found it. And when they pulled up, they pulled their guns out and everything and tried to get him to get out of the car and at least move around or talk to him or something like that, and they couldn't get him to respond. And it said that the EMS, I guess they decided that he wasn't moving, he was staying still or something like that, and they got a little closer, and the EMS approached the car, and a short while later, it says, and a man was found with gunshots in his body, and was pronounced dead, and they said it was a suicide. And how do you know that? Because he left a suicide note. He killed himself. And he shot himself multiple times in a rest area. Suicide. When was that? Well, it said it was yesterday at 10:56 a.m. 18 hours ago? Probably 18 hours, yeah. Something like that. But suicide. I'm not telling you stuff that happened years ago. I'm telling you stuff that happened. Maybe, you know, if we was back in 1970 or 1960 or something like that, you could talk like that. You know, and this is the rest of the story. This happened 5 years ago and blah, 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 blah. But it ain't like that. It happened 18 hours ago. It happened yesterday. It happened early this morning, 1:45. Yeah. Real, real stuff. Killing. Suicide. That's what we're talking about. So suicide. Suicide's brought on, and why? Okay, well, according to the scriptures, here's one reason. Hopelessness. People kill themselves, and suicide is brought on by hopelessness, and we see that in the scriptures. Why? Because in Judges chapter 16, verse 28 through 30, the Bible says, "And Samson called unto the Lord." You know Samson. He called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his, he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. One thing about suicide and why it's brought on in the scriptures is because of hopelessness. You see, Samson was one of God's men, and he was a judge, but he got to playing around and not taking the Lord's word seriously and not taking God's word seriously, and there were things that he was forbidden to do that he did, and there was things that he was not supposed to do that he did, and things that he was supposed to do that he did not. And he took for granted the things that God blessed him with, and it cost him because he got caught. And he told the things, he told about his hair being, you know, and God told him not to, that a razor was not to be put on his head, and Delilah talked him out of it and found out. And she took him down, and he got both of his eyes put out, which made him hopeless. They put him out there just like an ox or an ass or something like that, going round and round and on this grinding wheel or something, pushing, just walking, being blind and out there as a slave. And they celebrated having him, and what a big trouble he was to the Philistines. And the Philistines finally got him, and he was hopeless. He was there. He was a prisoner. He couldn't see anymore. So, and his strength was gone, and his blessing from the Lord was gone. But during the time that he was there grinding and being a slave to the Philistines, his hair began to grow again. And they pulled him up one day and was going to bring him into that house and make fun of him and talk trash about him and how he wasn't nothing anymore and stuff like that. And that's where that picked up right there. He asked the Lord, he said, you know, my life is hopeless. I'm not any good to you anymore. He said, they put my eyes out, and his hair was growing back. So he prayed to the Lord, and he had this little boy show him where the pillars were to the house, the main supports to the house. And he prayed and asked God to give him his strength back just one more time so he could be avenged for his eyes, and the Lord did. But his situation was hopeless, and he committed suicide. And he asked the Lord to give him strength so he could bring that house down and kill all them Philistines along with himself, and the Lord let him. Suicide brought on, and why? Because of hopelessness. Hopelessness. What else? That's not all. Suicide is brought on, and why, according to the Scriptures? Because of sin. Because of sin. You knew sin was going to be in there somewhere, didn't you? Sin. Sin brings on suicide. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All this counseling that goes on, and sin never brought into the matter. Counseling is fine, and talking things out is fine, but you can talk till you're blue in the face, and if you don't get on that sin and talk about that sin that bringeth forth death and how to correct it and what the Bible says about correcting it, you're not going to ever get anywhere until you get the sin fixed with God. It's not going to get fixed, and you're going to have these suicidal thoughts, and sin brings forth suicidal thoughts. Yes, it does. Listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 17 through 20. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, Elijah, what have I had to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And of course we know that Elijah spread himself on that boy, and the boy's waxed warm again, and she brought him back to him, brought the boy back to his mother alive, and the Lord put his life back in him. But the situation this woman brought up to Elijah, see, she was helping him. Elijah would come through town, and she was helping him, and she would help him and bless him and help him. And she asked God for a son, and she had a son, and she was blessed. But now the boy got sick, and he was dying, and she was reprimanding him, I guess, talking to him, talking to Elijah, and said, "What have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come to me, come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son?" She said, "Are you killing my boy because of my sin?" Now, she knew something, didn't she? She didn't go into detail about it, but it had nothing to do with it. Elijah wasn't killing her son. It was just something that came about. The boy was sick. The boy was sick. And she thought it was because of her sin, and Elijah was going to... Elijah, or she pointed it toward him anyway. O thou man of God, art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You know, a lot of things having to do with suicide have to do with sin in a person's life. Many people, many people that kill themselves because they don't know what to do about their sin. And they can't get rid of it. They can't get over the guilt of it. And that was one thing this woman brought up, that her son was being persecuted and slain because of her sins. She was wrong, and she accused Elijah of that, and she was wrong, and that wasn't even the situation, but that's what she thought. Sin. Well, you see, there's a lot of people. One of the first things that needs to be brought out in any kind of counseling having to do with trying to prevent somebody from committing suicide is what kind of sin you got in your life. What are you doing that's making God mad? Is God mad at you? Are you acting like an idiot out there and your sin is just more than God can stand anymore and he's making him vomit? Well, there's lots and lots and lots of folks that put on a big show and a big theatrical thing that their life is so pretty and so precious. You take a look at all the people. One thing, I was collecting pictures, not out of some kind of stupid thing. I was getting them so I could put a video together about suicide and teaching some classes about suicide and getting some facts together. Well, I started collecting pictures of young folks. I don't know, not just young folks, but people that had committed suicide and how old they was, and it showed a nice picture of them and stuff like that, and people that just honored them. But it was all people that committed suicide. And you know, one thing about every one of those pictures, every one of those pictures that had likeness, that was in comparison, you know, one thing that was the same about every one of those pictures? Every one of those people that committed suicide were smiling in those pictures. Were smiling. What? That don't make sense. You look at a suicide picture of somebody, not the actual suicide, but the picture of them that somebody would pick, and you see this stuff going on, you see this person sitting there, a beautiful person sitting there, and they're smiling. Maybe a young woman or a fella standing in the picture, and they're smiling. Everybody's smiling. But inside of them, death is stirring. Their heart is broken and full of sinful stuff, and they can't find a cleansing, and they're God-defying, God-hating, rejecting Jesus Christ, and they can't find any answers, and the world can't help them. I can give you a bunch of pills and stuff like that, and that helps out that controls the flesh, yeah, but don't do anything for the heart or the sin. Many, 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 many people commit suicide because of their sin. Because of their sin. Yes, they do. Sin will drive you to kill yourself. It will. It will. What else? Well, we're talking about, if you remember, is suicide and how it's brought on or why it's brought on in the scriptures. Well, because of hopelessness, because of sin. That's not all. Another one is because of disappointment. There's a lot of people that commit suicide because of disappointment. Over in Japan, I got a documentary that imagine this. One of the most beautiful forests in the entire world is found in Japan. And it's such a beautiful forest. They named it something in Japanese or something like that. I wish I could remember the name, but they named it something that brought out its beauty because it is beautiful. And people go there to just go there to see its beauty. It's a forest. But they also, it has another thing tied to it. That's where people go in the entire country, or in the entire country of Japan, the entire Japan. That's where people go to commit suicide because it's so beautiful and tranquil. It's known for that. And disappointment among the Orientals, disappointing your mom and dad because of schooling and because of failure and because of divorces and because of this and because of that, that's real big among the Asian and the Asiatic people. And it's here in the United States also, Americans commit suicide because of disappointment back in the Depression. There was people jumping out of the stinking windows and killing themselves because of the Depression. And overnight, they lost $100,000 in their bank account and they were zeroed out. Jump out of the window. Disappointment. Disappointment. Somebody in your family dies. There's been lots of teenagers commit suicide because they lost a parent that killed himself. And they follow suit. Disappointment. Disappointment brings on suicide in the scriptures. Why? Well, let's look at something here. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23, the Bible says, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." And this was because, I mean, there was some counseling that was requested by the king, and Ahithophel gave his counsel, and somebody else gave some other counsel, and I guess the board decided on the other person's counsel was better than Ahithophel's. So Ahithophel was so disappointed that he left, that his, I guess, counseling wasn't good enough to meet the king's requirements or to help the king out. And he left and he went and he saddled his ass and arose and got him to his house and put his household in order, just like people do today. Get all their paperwork fixed up, write a note and this and that and the other, and then hanged himself and died. That's in the Bible. Disappointment. Disappointment will cause people. You say, we're talking about suicide and how it's brought on and why it's brought on in the scriptures. Well, because of hopelessness and because of sin and because of disappointment. Because of disappointment, perhaps there's some of you listening to this right now that you have disappointment in your life somewhere, somehow, and maybe yourself, or maybe because of the disappointment, the enemy is using that against you and trying to get you to commit suicide. I mean, there's no sense in, I mean, what we've been through in this study by itself already concerning killing has brought everything up to date. And it's not like it's a hush-hush thing to talk about it anymore. Suicide is an open and thought about. I mean, It's crazy how it's come about. But disappointment. Don't you let disappointment drive you to do anything crazy like that. That's not God's will for your life. God can fix anything. He can fix anything, and He will fix anything. Maybe this disappointment has to do with teaching you something. God is a tremendous teacher, and He teaches in ways that we don't understand. And we would think He teaches in ways that we would never figure to teach somebody something. Not saying that God does it wrong. God does an excellent job of teaching. And when you come out of it, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He brings you out better than you were before. But disappointment brings about, in the Scriptures, brings about suicide. And it does today, too. It does today. We see evidence. Ahithophel was disappointed. And he was disappointed to the point to where all he could think about was that the king didn't take his advice and everybody else wanted this other advice. Or maybe he was disappointed that he didn't give the best advice that he possibly could and didn't get a second chance. Whatever it was, he was disappointed that he went home and put his house in order and killed himself by hanging himself. You know, in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 3 through 5, the Bible says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, you know who this Judas is, betrayed our Lord. He was a devil, the Bible says. But when he saw that he was condemned, and that's not just condemned as far as having done the wrong thing, he was condemned of Christ. And condemned of anything good at all, he was the one that turned Christ in and knew he was innocent. And Judas, when he betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned. Now there's one for the sin part that we just finished up a minute ago. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. I have betrayed the. What's the? It's specific. It's particular. Not everybody's innocent blood, but the innocent blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And here's what the priest replied. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself because of disappointment, because of sin. Because of sin. Sin will drive you mad. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to, he wants us to walk clean before Him for our benefit. The Lord doesn't need to be any cleaner. And by us living for Him and living a righteous life and living a disciplined life and living a surrendered life and a sacrificial life before Him, He's pleased with that. But it don't make Him any better of a God because we do that. God is perfect. He's holy. Whether we live that kind of life or not. When we live that kind of life, it helps us. Sin bringeth forth death. You see, disappointment. Disappointment is what brings on suicide, according to the Scriptures. We've seen some evidence of people in the Scriptures that were disappointed to the point to where they went and killed themselves. And we see in the Scriptures that there are individuals that thought that their sin would bring about suicide or sinful things. And sinful things, I'm telling you, if you're playing around with sin, your mind is not going toward the Lord. If you're playing around with sin and you're not confessing it to the Lord and trying to fight it, the enemy has an open door to to your thinking. The thing to do is, if you have sin that you're hiding from the Lord, is to confess it to Him. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord will forgive you every time that you faithfully come to Him and tell Him what you did, how you did it, why you did it, and the reason you did it, and don't hide anything from Him. Just tell Him, no excuse, Lord. No excuse. I did this. I meant to do it. And tell the Lord enough in confessing it that you convince yourself that you're guilty. No excuse, Lord. And the Lord will forgive you for that, and He'll cleanse you of it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and you can walk before Him clean again. But if you're going to carry it around, try to hide it, you're not hiding it from Him. We know that, don't we? You can't hide sin from the Lord. And you're the one that suffers from it, brothers and sisters. And eventually, if you hold on to it long enough, I mean, ever since this DNA thing come out, they're finding things out. They're finding things and got this DNA database where anybody that gets their blood tested, gets a DNA test, gets put in that database. And whenever they want to find out, they find some old bones or something like that, they take the DNA test off of it. And if there's anybody else's on that database, DNA, then they bring up somebody that has killed somebody 40 years ago or 50 years ago or raped a little girl and has lived to be 60 years, you know, ago. And they find him and they convict him of it 60 years later. The Bible says, be assured your sins will find you out. And they will. But what I'm trying to get to is they must have been hopeless walking around with that sin for 60 years, and the disappointment of what they did must have thought about committing suicide, or a lot of them probably did commit suicide and probably do commit suicide. You never know why people, but there's hopelessness, sin, and disappointment. And there's one other, the betrayal of Christ. Betraying Christ. You're a Christian. You've been saved and washed in the blood of Christ. You've been circumcised by God the Holy Ghost. You're part of the body of Christ. You're on your way to heaven. You have all the hope in the world, and you have been freed from sin and freed from the law. And you can live for the Lord freely now. You don't have to worry about your sin anymore. All you have to do is confess it and try to live as clean before the Lord and as pleasing before the Lord as you possibly can. But to try to live in sin and try to live with disappointment and not addressing the Lord about these things and talking to Him about them and obeying the Scriptures and trying to walk upright before the Lord and please Him and be a good son, the Bible says that God is not ashamed to be our God. And you think about that. That's a statement that a holy God says and tells us in His Word that He's not ashamed to be our God. And you think about, well, why would He say that? Well, He would say that because He's holy, and man, at his very best, is altogether vanity. And God, yet the Lord tells us that He is not ashamed to be our God. He says, I'll be your God. Well, we shouldn't be ashamed to be His sons either. You see, to live in sin and to live with disappointment and not talk to the Lord about it and to live in sin and to be wallowing in that mud hole in sin and not trying to get it corrected and walking around hopelessly and being in misery all the time is not God's will for you, Christian. God doesn't want you living like that. And that's betraying Christ. Christ done all that he done so that you could be free. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says, well, I read that. Where am I? Let's see here. 2 Samuel chapter 17, 23, what we read about Ahithophel and his counsel to the king. He was disappointed that his counsel was not taken seriously or taken instead of the other. And it disappointed him to the point to where he committed suicide. Now, this betrayal of Christ is what I read you just a minute ago about Matthew, in Matthew chapter 27, about Judas. Judas betrayed Christ. Now, wait a minute. Judas was an apostle. He walked around for 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He knew him. He knew of him. He ate with him. He slept with him. He done everything with him. He went through all the miracles. He was given he could cast out devils. I mean, he was given the powers that the apostles were given. He done everything along with the other 11 apostles, and was privileged to be around the Son of God. But he betrayed him. And he betrayed him to the point to where he killed himself, that he couldn't take it. He said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And guess what? Those stinking guys that talked him into it, he went, well, actually, he started it, Judas did. He went to them and told them that he knew where Jesus was, and he'd tell them if he'd make it right with him. And boy, didn't they like that. But here's these same guys that's supposed to be such pals, and he says, I betrayed the innocent blood, and they replied, what is that to us? That's your problem. And he threw the money down, and he left out of the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Betrayal of Christ. You don't think there's a lot of people that have killed themselves because of the way that they have treated God? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. The Lord spends all of your life trying to help you out, trying to get you to realize what the truth is and who He is, and that He wants the very best for you, and you turn the heel up to Him and turn the shoulder to Him and snuff the nose at Him and all this, and He turns you over to a reprobate mind, and you get out there and fondle with the world and end up killing yourself. And the guilt and the shame and everything else, especially for a Christian. Christians kill themselves. And a lot of them kill themselves because of guilt. Because of betraying Christ and pride. Because they don't want to admit to the Lord and confess it. But they can't handle. Once you're in that, see, that's where you're trapped. You are so saved that you can't get out of the body of Christ now. You are a son of God. You're God's child. And you go out there playing around in the world, God's going to come looking for you with a strap. And when He finishes that, if you want to continue and continue and continue, then He'll take you on home. And it might be by letting you kill yourself and drive yourself mad. And I say that from a personal standpoint. Because you do, you get out of the will of God and get out there fooling around and messing with the devil's crowd and the devil's playground and all this kind of business and embarrassing the Lord and embarrassing everybody else and call yourself a Christian and people laughing at God because of your stinking testimony. And you can't take it anymore. And the Lord says, okay, if you don't want to behave yourself, then I'm going to turn you over to your own problems, and you end up driving yourself mad and kill yourself. It'll blow your brains out or something because you're too proud to get right with God. And a Christian is not going to be able to tolerate and to live his life in a sinful way being a child of God. You just can't do it. God the Holy Ghost is with you all the time. And you might stomp him down and grieve him and get to where you don't listen to him anymore, but then you got to listen to yourself. And that's even worse, isn't it? Yeah. This matter of suicide is not no joke. It's not no joke. And it is part of this thing that we're talking about killing. Suicide and how it's brought on and why in the Bible. Because of hopelessness. Christian, if you're hopeless, try to think about why you're hopeless and get to talking to the Lord about it. You have no hopelessness in reality if you're born again. There is no such thing as hopelessness if you're born again and in the family of God. The only hopelessness that can come along is when you're playing around in the world and you're not right with the Lord and you won't confess it and you won't get right with the Lord. And that's a hopeless situation for a Christian, is to live successfully in this world, because your mind can't take it and your heart can't take it. Because you're a child of God, you're a brand new creature, you think different, you feel different, you react different, you have a different father, you have a different family, and you have different hopes and different reasons. Did you get that? Suicide and why it's brought on, because of hopelessness and because of sin. Because of sin. That's not a joke. But the wages of sin is death. And just because you're born again does not make sin any less lethal for you. Sin will kill you if you play around with it and continue to play around with it. It will kill your flesh. It can't kill your soul, and it can't get you. But it'll wreak havoc on that flesh and on your mind and your heart. The Lord said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Disappointment and the betrayal of Christ. The betrayal of Christ. The Lord talks about stomping or tromping on the blood of Christ. And counting it a small thing, you know, that what Jesus did for us. And if you get to playing around in a world, it will become less important to you and less precious to you. So we're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters. And we've been over quite a bit today and talking about suicide. And suicide is not a fun thing to talk about. But it is part of this matter of our subject matter, killing. And as it is described in the Bible, there is such thing and evidence in the Scriptures of suicidal thoughts and why. So we don't have to think that we're strange when we think about suicide, because you're not. It's in the Scriptures. And why suicide is brought on and the reasons why it's carried out in the Scriptures. You don't have to feel like you're the stranger or something like that, and you're the only Christian in the world that thinks about that or knows somebody that was a Christian that committed suicide. I know people that have committed suicide, lots of them. One last year, as a matter of fact, after I left that ministry, one of the men that graduated the ministry. And it was a terrible way that he did. In his mama's house, in her bathroom. And she found him. Overdosed on heroin. and it killed him. But he played around with it too long. And the Lord gave him chance after chance after chance after chance, and he was a beautiful person. But it was enough. And he lived and was hopeless and lived in that sin and played with it, and it made him disappointed in himself. And in a way, as much grace as the Lord, and much forgiveness and much kindness the Lord treats us with, being his sons, it must have felt like a betrayal of his Lord doing what he was doing. And it does, doesn't it? So let's stop doing it. You don't have to play around with sin. You don't have to. And if there's any reason for you to not do it, don't do it because you love the Lord. Don't try to do it for yourself and to better yourself and all this kind of stuff. Do it because you love the Lord. And you're going to sacrifice. And you're going to quit and you're going to suffer getting out of that mess. And you're going to do it because you love the Lord. And you watch what the Lord does for you. But betraying Christ, we talked about. Next time, we're going to talk about this matter of some other truths in the Scripture concerning suicide that are in the Bible. For instance, it's desired by some. There's people in the Scriptures that desire to die, that desired to die and said so. And that it's attempted, but it's prevented. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of times. I mean, I'm speaking from a personal standpoint. Many times that suicide might have happened if it hadn't been for the Lord and it hadn't been for him preventing it. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, suicide was imputed to Christ, and we're going to go over that. But in a completely indifferent way than humans, of course. But we're going to get into that and talk about that, okay? So for today, we're going to stop, and let me give you these scriptures, please, if you've got your pencils and everything there, or whatever you write with, or if you're collecting these. But listen now, if you want these lessons on paper that are already written up, and they go right down the page, they're just everything that you hear us talking about and we talk about is written right there on the page, and it's fill in the blank, and you learn these scriptures, and you see them, and you write them, and everything, and you can take these lessons and use them for whatever you want. If you want them on paper, you just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you, okay? And you're welcome to them, absolutely free for nothing, for just you being yourself and wanting to learn God's Word. Here's the first scripture, Judges chapter 16, verse 28 through 30, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 17 through 20, 2 Samuel chapter 17 through 23, Matthew chapter 27 through 3 through 5, Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. Oops, wait a minute, I went too far. Okay, we only had about two or three scriptures today. Judges, 1 Kings, and 2 Samuel. That one I give you about Matthew there, no, that's one of them. That's one of them. That's the last one. Matthew 27, 3 through 5. It's a good thing we're stopping because I'm getting wacky, ain't I? Okay, all right, well, that's it, and we'll stop right there. I thank you for your patience and for your loyalty to the Lord and to His Word. The Lord bless you for that. I love you with Christ's love. I'll talk to you on the next one. We'll talk about some more of this suicide matter and this lesson of killing, okay? And it's good to be knowing what the truth is and what God thinks about killing, isn't it? Okay. Well, this is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.